We're continuing the Sheiltos. We'll go back to page Gimel, the fourth line. Rav Chista and Rav Hamnuna Damri Talvayu. Rav Chista and Rav Hamnuna both say, Cheshbonot Shemitzom Tal Chashmen B'Shabbat. You're allowed to do calculations, monetary calculations, that pertain to a mitzvah on Shabbos. V'amar Rabbi Elazar Poskin Tzedakah L'Aniyim B'Shabbat. You declare how much each person should donate on behalf of the poor on Shabbos. V'amar Rabbi Yaakov Baridi Amar Rabbi Yochanan. You arouse people to do something to save someone's life on Shabbos. We're continuing on page Hey. Holchin lebatei knesot ulevatei midrashot levakeach al iskei rabim b'shabbat. You go to shuls and batei medrash to enlighten the masses about public needs on Shabbos. V'amar b'shmur b'nachman imar b'yochanan holchin l'tiatrot v'l'kirkesot. You even go to theaters and circuses, which in those days were really gory places, really filthy places. What was their circus? They'd have a man fighting a tiger. They'd have a man fighting a bear. That was their entertainment. So ordinarily you're not allowed to even go watch such a thing. But you go there l'fakach al iskei rabim b'shabbat. If you need to enlighten the masses about something that's necessary, you'd even go there on Shabbos to arouse the masses. I guess the masses were there. Terrible. It could be the other way. It could be that you're going there to see who's online to fight the bear, and you're going to see if it's a Jew, you're going to go back and enlighten the masses. We have to put together the money to bribe the emperor to free him and not have him face off with the bear. And it could be the masses aren't there, but you need to enlighten the masses as to what's going on in the theater and in the circus so that you know if someone's life is in danger. We set up shiduchin, we set up pairs. If it's a child who you want to engage, so you find out about a girl and you set up a shidduch. Or if it's a child that you're looking for a teacher to teach him to be literate, to teach him the Bible, or if it's a child that you want him to apprentice, all of those relationships can be formed on Shabbos, even though ordinarily you don't hire someone on Shabbos, but you could set up these relationships, even though they're going to involve pay, but you could still set them up on Shabbos because each of these relationships have a mitzvah aspect to them and not only a business aspect to them. V'tan, Ya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Tinok ben Yomo Chai, Mechalelin alav et HaShabbat. If you have to desecrate Shabbos on behalf of the Tinok, who's a day old, if he's going to live, if he's alive, if he's considered living, say so desecrate Shabbos on his behalf. Shneimar, Hashem Ruv Neisle et HaShabbat. The Torah says, I want you to watch the Shabbos. Amirat Torah, the Torah says, Chalel Shabbat achat alav kedei shishmor Shabbatot arbe v'shameru. You have to watch in the long run. How are you going to do that? That means sometimes you have to desecrate a Shabbos and you'll save a life. And then that life will end up watching many Shabbatot. Afilu David Melech Yisrael met en mechalin lav ta Shabbat. And even if you have David, the king of Israel, who's dead, or, God forbid, if a person miscarries, you don't take that fetus to bury it on Shabbos. We deal with the living at the expense of Shabbos. We don't deal with the dead at the expense of Shabbos. Even if it's King David, the king of Israel, who's lying dead, and mechalelin lav ta Shabbat, which is exactly what happened. He was lying there in the sun, and his body was out in the sun, and yet the rabbis say, we don't desecrate Shabbos on behalf of the dead. Shekivan shemit adam niftar min ha-mitzvot. Once a person passed away, he has walked away, he has become clean of the mitzvot. V'ahaynu d'amar b'yochanan, may dichtiv b'mitim chofshi, kivan shemet adam, nasa chofshi min ha-mitzvot. So that needs a lot of work. So what if he became clean of the mitzvot? So he is no longer going to be obligated on Shabbos, so I don't desecrate Shabbos on his behalf. Okay. So that needs work. Okay. Let's see the Netziv till here. We're on the Netziv on that page. Letter Ches. Shneimar v'shameru bnei Yisrael et haShabbat. Yes? Amirat Torah chalel alav chulu. בגמרא ובריף, לתהי שנאמר ושמרו אלא אמרה תורה חולו. The Gemara, our version of Talmud, and the Rif, they don't quote the Pasuk, v'shamru v'nei Yisrael. They just quote the logic. V'ya afshar lomar dehadim chalin lalav et ha-shabbat, haynu me'idach kai didoshinem v'yoma. We could have said that this idea that you desecrate Shabbos on his behalf stems from the other Pasuk that we derive from Yuma. V'hadisiyem amirat Torah chalela alav chulu, taima kayayiv al ha'den mechalilin al met. And that conclusion that the Torah says desecrate one Shabbos so that he'll keep many Shabbatot is explaining to us the logic, why don't I desecrate Shabbos on behalf of the dead? Because they're not going to keep any more Shabbatot. The question begs itself because ordinarily we say you must give more honor to the dead than the living. That's why he has to explain the logic. Even though ordinarily we take greater pains to honor the deceased, but someone who's living at the end of the day is going to keep many Shabbatot if you desecrate Shabbos on his behalf. But the way the Sheiltos has the Girsa, then it's clear the Rashba Svirale Drasha de Vishamru Bnei Israel that Rabbi, the Rashba holds the drasha of the Shamru Bnei Israel, v'hi drashad Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya v'yom Hasham, v'ulay yesh eze taut adfus v'shem atana v'aynu Rabbi Shimon dehacha. There might be a mistake over there, a printer's error, that Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya is our Rabbi Shimon over here. Over here, it's Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Yeah. That's the Rabbi Shimon over here. Maybe there's a mistake. Haynu Rabbi Shimon dehacha, v'dehatam hamialamadnu midevir ben drasha zoshma menatzver leila halacha. But bottom line, we see if the Sheiltos quotes this derivation, he holds that halachically this derivation is applicable. ואף על גב דנן קיימנן כרבה, דקל זה לדרשה דשמול ביום השם. Even though we don't seem to go that way in halacha. We don't seem to go with this logic of saying, well, you desecrate one Shabbos for him to keep many Shabbatot, because Rava over there praises the logic of Shmuel. דנראה לו היתר פיקוח נפש, that Shmuel says, why do we allow desecration of Shabbos on behalf of Pikuach Nefesh, midichtiv asher yaseh otam adam v'chai b'hem. The Torah says, I gave you these mitzvos that a person should perform and live with them, v'lo sheyamut b'hem. Not to perform and die. So that's the derivation that we seem to take halachically as the source that Pikuach Nefesh overrules most mitzvos of the Torah. So the Sheilto seems to be going with an opinion that we don't go with halachically. Because the later opinion in the Talmud, the opinion of Rava, doesn't go with this derivation. It goes with the derivation that, in general, Pikuach Nefesh overrides most mitzvahs of the Torah. Mikol makom, nafkemina bedrasha zo linyan ubal. But nonetheless, there is a difference between what our Gemara says and what the Sheilto said. And the difference is going to be with regards to a child that is yet unborn. A person gets the status of Adam when he is born. The Talmud over there says, you take an ultrasound, and you see that the child has leprosy. He's not mitame, he doesn't have tzaras. He only has tzaras from the minute he's born, because it says Adam Ki yevonega tzarat, he only gets the title Adam at birth. Ki ditnan bin gerim resh perek zayin, elu be'arot torot chulu. בקטן ונולד, ומכל מקום מחללין לאו את השבת, מהדרשיו שמעו בני ישראל את השבת. So if I have to derive it from the regular derivation of פיקוח נפש, what does it say? אלה המצוות אשר יעשה אותם האדם וחי בהם. The Torah says, אדם has to stay alive even at the expense of mitzvos. What about Ubar? If he's not yet born, he didn't yet get the title Adam. So then you have this derivation. This logic of Rabbi Shimon applies even when he's not an Adam. He's a fetus that will be an Adam, so I desecrate Shabbos on his behalf. Because that's the logic. Desecrate one Shabbos so he will keep many. Okay.
והיינו שכתב בהג בהלכות יום הכיפורים, דמאכילין להם ביום הכיפורים בשביל העובר.
The Baal Halachos Gedolos writes in Hilchos Yom Kippur, that we feed the mother, even if it's not a danger for her, we do it on behalf of the baby. That if we know that this might cause the baby to start coming out early, we're going to feed her. We don't want the baby to be in danger.
And
you see, when it comes to that logic, you'd say, of course I save the baby on Yom Kippur. Pikuach nefesh. That's not the logic everyone brings. The Rush, the Ran, the Behad, the Ramban. Everyone's careful to bring which source? This source. Desecrate one Shabbos, so he'll keep many Shabbatot. They don't bring the classical source for Pikuach nefesh, because the classical source is only once he gets the title Adam. So I need another source. So they all quote this.
Chalel alav Shabbat achat. והוכחתי בסייעתא דשמיא להלן סימן כסה זאת את זין, דאחי דעת רבנו.
And later on you're going to see that I proved that this is what the Shiltos holds as well.
ושם הוכחתי דבספק סכנת עובר, אין מחלין עליו השבת.
And over there I proved that when you're in doubt about the danger, you would not desecrate Shabbos.
וחיכו שיתרבה ביומה, על זה הדרש, וכולו נמי אשכן ודאי ספק מנהלן.
And Rava over there says, you only prove to me that when there's definitely a danger, you desecrate Shabbos. How do you know when there's a suffix danger? So the Gemara goes into that over there, but the Gemara's proof over there needs support with regard to an Ubar.
And
that's why if you look closely, the Behag said, if we know it will endanger the baby, then we do it. Now, okay, this is dealing with the dry halacha. The practical halacha, obviously, involves more, we do grow greater length, and we do find ways to resolve the issue. Meaning dry halacha, here we're dealing with the derivations and what's permissible. Now practically, you'll tell me, well, if it's a safek sakana, what do you do? So then we find other ways to resolve the issue. That's our job, to find ways to resolve it. Okay, whatever. Meaning, yeah.
Spacious isn't good enough. The space that's quoted here is the Pikuach Nefesh rights. Where's the basis that it can be here for?
So, okay, let's summarize what we saw. The Shiltos quoted a drasha of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, which our Gemara quotes in the name Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya, and the Netziv says it might be a misprint, that we desecrate Shabbos out of the calculation, desecrate one Shabbos, so he will keep many. Our Gemara in Yuma seems to conclude that the source for desecrating Shabbos to save a life is from the verse, Asher Yaseltam Adam V'chai Bahim, that the Torah wanted man to live in the performance of Torah, not to lose his life out of the performance of Torah. But that verse says it about man. An unborn child does not yet have the title man. So then how do I know that I also desecrate Shabbos in order to save an unborn child? That's from this logic, where the Torah says desecrate Shabbos, so he will keep many Shabbatot. Then it is said, I run into a problem though, because the Gemara over there in Yuma says, how do you know that if the danger is not evident? It is a question whether the person is in danger. How do you know you desecrate Shabbos? We paskin for Safek Pikuach Nefesh, we also desecrate Shabbos. It's not only because he's going to die if you don't take him to the hospital. It's also if you think he may die, if you're concerned he's in danger. Even for that, we desecrate Shabbos. How do you know that? So the Gemara derives it from that verse again. So then the Netziv says, but then what about a fetus? If that verse didn't encompass a fetus, so then what do you do about a fetus? So the Netziv said, you're right. For a Suffolk Sakana, we don't have a source that you could do a biblical desecration of Shabbos for a Suffolk Sakana. And then he pointed out that if you look closely at all the sources, they all discuss a scenario where there's clear and present danger. What would be in a case of doubt? We don't have a source to desecrate Shabbos for that, he says. So I added to that and I said, okay, so now you have the outline of the dry halacha. Practically, what do? We find other resolutions. So, for example, if you make a strong tea on Yom Kippur, it's rabbinically prohibited to drink it. It's not biblically prohibited because that's not something that's palatable. It's not something that a normal human being drinks. You take 3 tea bags, you boil them in a cup, but for the pregnant woman, it'll do the same effect. So that there you would enter the realm of rabbinic prohibitions. So we look for practical solutions that will fall within the confines of the halacha. Sometimes, yes. Sometimes a woman needs to drink a lot to replenish her fluids. Sometimes we'll say a miscarriage could endanger her, the bleeding. There are different angles that we would approach in order to find the way to resolve the issue. But when we deal with the dry halacha, we have to have a clear understanding. What do I have a basis for to permit? And based on that, I have to work. So he's saying, based on these sources, I have a basis for vadai sakana for a fetus, and even suffix sakana for someone who's been born, someone who goes under the category of Adam. Okay, we're out of time.